Hi, everybody. Welcome to the East Texas News Roundup. I'm Valerie Riddell, the news director for Polk County Publishing Company, and I'm here with my merry band of editors.
Jason Klopik from Trinity County.
Jacob McAdams from Sanderson and News Times.
I'm Chris Edwards from Tyler County, Texas, east of here, and representing the Tyler County Booster in Woodville.
And we're here at Ground Zero in the live recording studio for the Polk County Enterprise on a damp, wet evening.
But hey, at least we got some cold weather.
Yes, thank goodness. We finally killed all the bugs. Going to hit 70 degrees about maybe one time for the rest of the week. If you live along the Trinity River or the Neches River, tie yourself down.
Yes, batten down the hatches.
I just talked with Courtney over at the Polk County Emergency Management Office. They're up in the dam release at the Lake Livingston Dam, and the river is going to peak at 42 feet on Sunday. But starting Thursday, it's going to be major flooding along the lower Trinity Rivers downstream from the dam. How are folks on your neck of the woods, Chris?
We're staying pretty dry.
Most of your folks haven't even moved back in from Harvey, haven't they? On the Neches River.
Still a few displaced folks down there in the Neches River bottoms, but most of the county, we're staying pretty dry here lately. Had some heavy storms last week, and it's been raining this week, but nothing catastrophic yet, knock on wood.
How's Camilla?
I think Camilla is still doing what Camilla's been doing here for quite a while. They're just getting back on their feet, dusting themselves off. They took it pretty hard when Harvey came, and there's still relief efforts going down there. You've got people like the Impact Center, mm-hmm. and some of their friends are still going down there and dropping off supplies and whatnot to help people out.
Yeah. Has Mayor Brown said anything about opening shelters in Shepherd or anything like that? Current weather event?
If he has, I have not heard from him personally on that. I will see what he has to say on that.
Okay. Well, Mayor, you've got our digits. Let us know what you're doing. What's going on in Groveton and Trinity?
Well, we've had some flooding as well, mainly the White Rock Creek area, mm-hmm. and some places along the river. Needless to say, I don't see people in Trinity singing "Shall We Gather at the River" anytime soon.
All right. Well, can you get in and out of Friday?
I believe so. Most roads are open again for operation.
Okay, because the 1280 looked pretty rough.
Oh, yes.
It's good to know that everybody is accounted for and there's safety measures in place. Like I said, in Tyler County, there's nothing catastrophic going on weather-wise. We're staying pretty dry, so that's good. Thoughts go out to everybody out there in Trinity and San Jacinto counties.
Right.
And we're keeping everybody abreast of any developments via Facebook, those kinds of things.
Well, y'all won't believe this, but there is news on the crime front in Livingston.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
We may have discussed this in last week's podcast because with all the special sections and everything, I'm a little bit of a blur. But we did have a guy walk into Family Dollar here just north of town and hide in the store as the store was closing and locked the doors and left. And he fired a handgun to get out. A customer had pulled into the parking lot, so he scared her to death. Matt Parrish said she was just terrified. And then he fled on foot down 146 to what used to be the Valero and is now the Circle K and held up the clerk there with a handgun. But he is still on the lam in the Gulf Coast Violent Offenders Task Force, or FORT, but they're probably better at the task force. They're hunting for him down around the Houston area.
Goodness. Yeah, we had a similar situation in Woodlake, which is near Groveton, last week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Three guys broke into a house, mm-hmm. but they were all caught separately within a two-hour span. And speaking of Trinity County sheriffs, Woody Wallace has been released from the hospital, and he's doing office stuff right now, but he's not full-fledged back to work.
Yeah.
He's getting there.
Yeah.
So.
He probably needs to take it slow before launches into any foot chases.
Well, welcome back, Woody. I had the privilege of talking to him today about floodings.
Well, and then over close to you, Onalaska PD has cut loose two police officers for what they said is policy violations. So that's one thing. I'll be chasing down Chief Maddox and trying to put him in a headlock and let me know what goes on there. Yeah, he's only got about a foot on me, about a foot taller than me. We'll see what's going on over there. In today's edition of the Enterprise, it says they've cleared 110 warrants, which is a lot for Onalaska.
Yeah.
That's three folks a day. So,
I can't say we have had any crime over in San Jacinto County.
People never do anything wrong in San Jacinto.
I know. We're like perfect angels.
Just stand on the river and sing hymns.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's what we're doing. But I can tell you, we haven't had anything come up here recently as far as that's concerned, but what we have had is you'll see it in this upcoming edition of the San Jacinto News Times, but Sheriff Greg Capers received the Patriot Award from the employer support of the Guard and Reserve.
Right.
And the Sheriff's Office also received the Above and Beyond Reward.
Yeah, and that's kind of a great way that kind of some military auxiliary groups can thank the employers who allow their employees time off to do their annual training in the National Guard or Military Reserve. That's actually a pretty hard thing to achieve. I've only ever covered one other person, and that was in Mount Pleasant. For the Big Tex Trailer folks are really good at working with military reservists and National Guard guys.
Mm-hmm. Good on Sheriff Capers, yes. Very good.
We lost our third superintendent since school started. I think we're maybe on the second 6 weeks. Sherry Hughes, the very long time
Corrigan-Camden
superintendent, told trustees on Monday night that she was stepping down, that she was going to be the HR manager for Royal Martin. Mm. So
wow.
They have the high school principal, and her name just flew out of my head.
That would be...
Locke. She's one of the Locks.
Oh, man. The name escapes me right now.
Diana?
Maybe. Yeah, anyway, that sounds right. Diana.
You can't throw a rock in Corrigan without hitting a lock. But so she is the high school principal and will be the interim superintendent. Dr. Brent Hawkins got his contract extended for Livingston ISD. And John Wayne Reynolds is being the superintendent for Goodrich and Onalaska. So he's spending a couple of days at one, a couple of days at the other, and splitting the difference for the fifth day.
And that's, you know, he's worked for every school district you can imagine. Spent most of his time out at Groveton, but...
he's got a stadium named after him.
Yeah, he does. But Corrigan-Camden is really losing a jewel in Sherry Hughes. I got to know her.
She's still going to stay in the community.
And, well, yeah, absolutely. But the district, though, I mean, she did a lot of good for Corrigan-Camden ISD.
I think it's safe to say that Mrs. Locke has Corrigan-Camden ISD on lock now because she's acting superintendent and high school principal.
Well, yeah, but she, I'm sure they will have to do a full-fledged superintendent search.
Well, absolutely. Sure. You got to give other people a fair shake.
Well, yeah. Out east of us in Tyler County, where I reside, there's not really a lot of school admin shakeups or major crimes going on this week, but we've got a couple of Tyler County residents who are being recognized nationally for things they've done or are doing, and I've had the opportunity to interview them both this week, and it's been really cool.
What'd they do?
Well, first of all, Kim Cruz, who's a Woodville native, she lives in Houston now, and she's a gospel singer and songwriter. By the time this podcast goes live, she will already have done this, but tonight, which is Wednesday night, she is singing at the Rockets game. They're playing the Pelicans tonight. She's singing the national anthem before the game begins. And she's just really had hit big swath of traction or swell of traction lately. She's about to go on tour with John Key, who's a big-time gospel singer, songwriter, and award-winning musician, those kinds of things. And she's got some record coming out and all this. So it's just nowhere to go but up from her. And I've known Kim and her family for a long time. Well, actually, I've known her family, but she, I only met here a few years ago. I had jury duty, and she was sitting next to me. So if you happen to see the name, if she's performing in your city somewhere, or you happen to see it wherever, you know, give her a listen. She's really great, and she's a hometown girl from my area. And also had the opportunity to spend some time with and interview Patrick Lamb. And if anybody listening in Tyler County, they know Patrick. He's a larger than life kind of character. And Patrick, he owns a Texas Star Cafe, which is right up the road from my house in Colmenille. And he was recently contacted by an Israeli film crew that are doing a documentary about several Holocaust survivors who were Jewish children who were placed in these boarding schools and mistreated horribly. And I was there at the filming Monday morning, and Patrick had the opportunity to open up and share his story with them. And I don't know what the timetable is on the production or where it'll be available, but it's a pretty big deal and really, really interesting that they selected him to share his story. And there's going to be a feature in next week's edition of The Booster about Patrick and about the...
Well, give us a little preview. Patrick, was he from a Jewish family and got relocated? Or tell me how that works.
What happened was Patrick's mother is a Belgian Jew. Mm-hmm. His father was a Spanish military personnel, and his mother died in a concentration camp, and I think he was adopted by, I believe, a Catholic nuns who mm-hmm. named him Patrick so that the Nazis would evade further capture and torture.
And Catholic Church did help get some areas that were great at helping Jewish kids get out of the country and come to the U.S. or other places.
Right.
And sometimes not so much.
This is true. And Patrick was relocated to a boarding school. Apparently there's a whole group of these kids from this particular boarding school, these Jewish children who were treated horribly, and it's come to light in recent years. And there was a list of all the survivors somewhere online that they found his name and some mm-hmm. other survivors they had spoken with. They remembered Patrick fondly and knew him. And you know, mm-hmm. he's lived all over. He's been a fairly well-known chef mm-hmm. in different places, and he worked on cruise lines in the 70s, and he was Princess Grace's sommelier for a time, and he lets everybody know that when they walk in his restaurant, too. But he's definitely got some stories to tell. And
so he has the perfect pairing for chicken fried steak.
Huh? Chicken fried steak to the Chateaubriand. He's a... Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, of course he would probably have to cook it without gravy because if he's Orthodox,
well, conservative, you know, how about
Jew, I don't think he's very observant. Though.
Okay, so he doesn't observe the kosher diet.
Yeah. But we have a mutual friend, Jason and I do, that was a Jewish newspaper publisher, and now he is involved in nonprofits in the Travis County area.
But, good old Dan.
Good old Dan. It was always nice when Rosh Hashanah came around, and he wanted to be forgiven for everything. And he was,
well, Yom Kippur, which is 9 days after Rosh Hashanah.
That's right. Yeah. I am not the world's greatest on Jewish holidays.
I can't keep my Jewish holidays separate either, but anyway, so I don't feel bad.
I tried to hook him up with a female rabbi before I left. But
yes, he was always saying, hey, if you know of any nice Jewish girls, let me know.
Right. And I think he has a magical birthday that if he doesn't find a nice Jewish girl by 45 or something, that he's going to throw the door open to shishkas too. But
oh, dear.
Matchmaker.
Well, hopefully we need to find somebody for Dan Quick so we can break the bottle of wine and see Mazel Tov.
I know. Yeah. I want to see him up on a chair.
Yes, me too.
But anyway, we digress.
Yes, indeed.
So you also, Chris, mentioned a trial in Tyler County.
Actually, that was postponed.
Oh, well, we got close even.
Close, yes. Very close.
So who's prosecuting that? Pickle or?
Ann Pickle.
Okay.
Yeah, right. She's going
to
work.
I'm just dang proud that they got that far.
Oh, yeah. And, well, they recently did a trial on this guy. They put him away for 20 years. They had him on a meth possession mm-hmm. charge, and this case had languished for 2 or 3 years. And I was actually, that was the case several episodes ago I was talking about that I was selected for the jury pool. Mm-hmm. And, we all kind of knew where that was going. Before it was even resolved, he had a number of convictions on him prior to that.
Mm-hmm. So he got a bunch of years. Well, we're going to have a ginormous meth case come to trial here. It's pretty high on the list for Polk County, but
a big meth cook or distributor or both.
It's a whole family. They searched a house a few blocks from here and found a record. I hate to spout out a number because I don't have it in front of me, but extremely large amount of methamphetamine was found in the house, and they may have been cooking it out. There's a little shed in the backyard, so they think they were cooking it there, but that'll be kind of a two-parter story. That family has an eventful criminal history. There's 3 or 4 defendants, and they're not going to all be tried together.
Right.
And then the house, a guy has come here from Nederland, I think, done a total remodel on the house, and it's a really beautiful inside, and I think he's trying to, that should be on the market fairly soon.
I wonder just how much money had to be spent to do that, because, you know, knowing what I know about methamphetamine lab disassembling and everything, I mean, you know, having to have hazmat suits on to decontaminate it is about the least of your worries.
Right. Well, there is no carpet in that house now, and I think they did some testing. A lot of times you have to pull out the drywall and everything. I know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a house over in Oak Forest, which is behind the auction barn here in Livingston, and they took it down to the studs.
Gutted it.
And I think that was more for an animal hoarder rather than meth.
That's bad enough, but meth, man, it's almost like a Chernobyl kind of situation.
Right. So have we covered everything on your side of the lake?
Jason? Well, we do have a couple of Jacob.
I knew. Okay. I threatened before we started recording that I was going to start calling Jacob Beardy and Jason Baldy.
To be fair, I suggested Beardy. So,
and I had a different alternative, but we'll go with Beardy for Jacob. And Jason has
very short hair.
He has a military haircut, and
hair's grown a little bit since last time I saw him.
5 o'clock shadow.
I'll still be Chris.
I'll still go by Baldy. So.
Jacob is Grizzly McAdams.
Grizzly McAdams. Yes,
we could almost. I'll bring you some little hair ties when we can start doing the pony, the beard yes. ponytail.
No, thank you. I think I'm fine where I'm at. So in San Francisco County, we have two of our biggest events are coming up here this weekend. First, we have the first weekend for the San Jacinto County Historical Commission's Haunted Old Jail Museum. That starts on the 19th. It runs from 6:30 to 9:30. And if you have young kids that you want to take there, but you're not sure about how you feel about how intense the scares might be, you can actually take them there in the early hours from 6:30 to 7:30. It's going to be a bit more toned down.
Okay.
And then after that, it's enter at your own risk, basically.
Okay.
That's one of them. Now, if you don't get to catch it this weekend, you can catch it next weekend from the 26th to 27th mm-hmm. at same times. But we also have one of the county's largest events is happening this weekend, which is the San Jacinto County Chamber of Commerce's 34th annual Wolf Creek Car Show.
And so wolf-like... They should set loose some wolves just for Halloween.
No, that'd be a bad idea. So for those of you who have not been to the Wolf Creek Car Show, it's actually one of the two largest events in the county. They will get tons of people there. They'll probably get more people there than you would actually have living in Cold Spring.
Wow.
At least that's what they've often told me with the other event, which is Christmas on the Square. Mm-hmm. This event is usually put on par with Christmas on the Square. You will have roughly 200 cars, which, you know, may not be what you'd think if you're thinking along the lines of Houston, but for these small areas, right. it's a lot. There's a lot of cars there. You will see anything from old school classics to some really awesome new age stuff. There was one year they had a guy that was dyno testing cars for people. I've seen anything from like old school, you know, muscle cars, mm-hmm. which you'll see plenty of those, but you will see cars you would not necessarily expect to see. I've seen a
rat rods.
You will see, well, no, you'll see rat rods for sure. You'll definitely see those, but I've seen a Lamborghini there before. I have seen a Healy at one of these car shows. Mm-hmm. So it's a thing that, it's a big event and also just for what it's worth, it's not the only car show that's even in Cold Spring. There's another one as well, which is Cadmus Car Show, the Cold Spring Area Business and Merchants Association.
Yeah, I covered that one in the summer. That was really neat.
Yeah, theirs is not...
It's a classics.
Yeah, theirs is not quite as big, but they've mm-hmm. they've done pretty well. They've
still
done
a pretty
really
good
car show.
Shindig, though. That was neat.
So we have two major car shows down there. This is the other one, and 34 years for them. Also, just I have not gotten all the details on it yet, but there is going to be a separate item happening down there. There's going to be a scavenger hunt, and I will have more details on that
soon. Okay, well, let me know if you find any scavengers.
Cool. Well, there are plenty of buzzards in the county, so both literally and figuratively. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course.
Speaking of community events, I will have back-to-back homecomings. Trinity Homecoming is this Friday. Mm-hmm. They're facing the Westwood Panthers out of Palestine.
Wow, that's going to be a tough game, isn't it? Are they not?
They're both one-win teams.
Okay. Oh, well.
But Trinity's had some issues with their football. A couple of starters were kicked off the team for disciplinary action.
Oh, that'll happen.
And that's why they've lost their last three games in convincing fashion. Hmm. Mm-hmm. And then next week... And you know this all too well, Valerie, is Groveton Homecoming.
That's right. Oh, that's the right. Indians
the
are...
The big homecoming.
Are, oh, yes. The Indians are gathering up in downtown Groveton.
And unfortunately, there's no river to gather by to sing, shall we gather at the river? Well, oh, well.
They got that pond over there kind of going out toward Trinity, though. What is that, the old mill pond they call
yeah.
it?
Yes. And White Rock Creek's not too far.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, White Rock. Yeah, they have to gather at White Rock Creek.
Yes.
On one side of
which
it.
Which looks like a river right now.
Yes. I'm sure it's really big. But, yeah, they're all gathering up. Smoke signals will be in the last paper of the month.
That's right.
For all the Groveton News fans.
Well, luckily there's not a burn ban because it would be illegal to have smoke signals then.
I think they're more like figurative smoke signals.
Yes,
just saying. So, yeah. You have, that is a big event because all the classes get together.
You've covered it before, haven't you?
Absolutely, numerous times. And the thing about Groveton, their big homecoming is a biannual thing. And every big homecoming, they nominate a few people from different classes through the years to be members of the Hall of Fame, the Groveton Ex Student Association Hall of Fame. And this year, one of them is a Martha Harrison Miracle, who worked
good friend
of the photographer.
Great photographer and kind of Ms. Groveton, if you had to label or anything, and a great ambassador for Groveton and everything. So shout out to Martha. On being nominated to
she deserves
GHS
it.
Ex
and
Student
you talk about
Association.
The gospel singers. Have you ever heard That's her right. daughter,
oh,
Melissa?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And her daughter, Melissa, who's on many of the committees with the Ex Student and many things going on around town, she helps out with the big homecoming events and things. She's on tour with the Chuck Wagon Gang and just very talented people, very talented
family. Yep, Melissa Kemper. So,
Melissa Kemper.
She used to babysit my Melissa. And
small world, or just East Texas.
Melissa and Miranda used to babysit. That's right. So it's you'll see Miranda if you frequent the district attorney's office. So.
Yes, just working there quite a while now. Yes. So speaking of big events in our respective communities, and I think it was mentioned was made on the last episode, but I'm going to mention it again just to remind anybody if you may have slept since then. We've got the Harvest Festival this weekend in Tyler County in Woodville out of Heritage Village. And Heritage Village is this, it's a recreation frontier town that's a little bit west outside of Woodville, just a couple of miles outside of town going toward Livingston on Highway 190. And if you've never been out there or to Harvest Festival, you're missing a real treat. It's their big annual folklife festival. And this week in the booster, we've got a complete listing of all the events and all of the performers who will be out there. And it starts this Friday and it ends Saturday. They normally do it 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but this year it's just the 2 days and still going to be a lot of fun. They've got every kind of thing you could imagine, from soap making and candle making to beekeeping demonstrations. And there's a lot of live music and a lot of good food. So if you happen to be down Woodville way, check out the Harvest Festival this weekend.
Needville has a Harvest Festival as
Needville?
Well. Yeah, back when I was in Needville 2 years
cool.
ago.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's over south of Rosenberg, if you for those who are geographically challenged. But
yes, checkable lot country.
Oh, yeah. And you guys in Madisonville had the Mushroom Festival. I remember that well. I played that a couple of times. Back in like 10 years ago or so.
So what is it that the Mushroom Festival used to say? They on the sidewalk Cattlemen's Association, there was a specific amount of cattle you had to have to avoid being...
To avoid being dunked. Owned a pair of cowboy boots, you had to own cattle. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
And if you didn't, then you got dunked in the trough downtown.
Wow. Was it just the real cattle troughs or the real cattle ponds? That can be a immunological nightmare.
Oh, yeah. So if that happened, you better make sure that your immune system's pretty strong.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of nasty water, some coming ahead of our way, everybody. We're going to wrap up. But please, Trinity River Authority is expecting the river to crest at Goodrich at 42 feet. Courtney says that means it's going to be major flooding. At 41 feet, the water starts getting into some structures. So take time now. By the time you're listening to this podcast, by Thursday, that water was going to be pretty high. So it's time to restock that emergency kit. Run away.
Run away.
Yes.
Go upstream. Don't run away down to Anahuac.
No.
Lord, no.
Be safe. Tune to
weather.com.
Weather.com news sources. The TRA has a website. We'll be sharing that on the Enterprise Facebook page. Watch for street flooding. Don't turn around. Don't drown. I was driving back to Livingston from Lufkin today and visited with some of the Angelina County TxDOT guys, and they had reopened 59. They said everybody was just blasting through there in the morning commute on Tuesday, and they would see their blue and amber lights, and so they would kind of slow down a little bit. And, you know, everybody, I guess, you know, especially at 6:30 in the morning or so, think, oh, policemen, and they slow down a little bit. And then when they get close enough to see that it's TxDOT, they drop their foot
Speed
on the gas
right
again and just went right into the water. And they said, well, we didn't see any troopers. And he said, yeah, they're all over on the southbound side pulling everybody out of the river. So I'm still trying to gather numbers since they were real busy pulling everybody out and didn't have a nap today. Don't drive through flooded water. Don't drive through dark water.
No.
And go splashing around in the dark.
That's right. It only takes a foot of water to float a car, so don't risk it. Your life is worth more than the 5 seconds you might shave off your commute.
And you could wind up charged with POP.
POP.
Yeah, if you're out around, monkeying around in the emergency, you face the risk of dealing with pissed off police.
Oh, yes. POP, yes. There you go. There you go.
Because if you make them come out in the rain to pull you off right. the side of the road, you're yeah. gonna,
words
you know,
to live by.
They're going to be looking, you know, they're going to make earn as many contact points as they can. You know, if you've got that tail light out, or you know, didn't update your address on your driver's license. That's they're going to make the most of their experience with you. So
smell
just
of
be
last
safe.
Night's beer on your breath or something, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Oh, yeah. Don't decide you think you can brave it out, but you only have a pack of cigarettes at home, and then when it's nice midnight and the water's way up, that's when you're going to head out for the truck stop. Be aware, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.